It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 397. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show. Facebook, facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. And don't forget all of the links to all of the past shows. You can go to mtswiki.com. Lots of great information there. Starting a little earlier tonight because, again, having some lockup problems while I'm connected to Ustream. So I'm starting early because I rebooted, and while things are working, I want to get the show recorded. Plus, I'm doing it a night early because I have some commitments for Thursday night, so we're doing it a day early. No Tech Vets show this week, but we have a great show lined up for next week. So tonight, it's an all-email show. Half the show dedicated to following up on past shows, the emails and responses to some of the things for following up to questions and some info that I think is really important. And then the second half is new questions that are being asked, and I'll do my best to answer. Before we get started, we develop trust in the people we know, but we don't really know someone we can't see. That can be a tough hurdle in business with employees and clients around the world. That's why I recommend GoToMeeting with HD Faces, a simple online meeting service with group HD video. It helps you get better connected to the people you depend on for success. With GoToMeeting by Citrix, it takes a webcam and a click to instantly collaborate with your team or clients in real time from anywhere in the world. It helps build trust, confidence, and makes meetings more effective. And you can start hosting your own face-to-face online meetings today with GoToMeeting. And you can try it free for 30 days. But don't wait for this special offer. Go to GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code PODCAST. So be sure to enter the promo code PODCAST. I want to start things off with this email response from Rod Miller, a listener who followed up with some info about FABS auto backup, which I talked about last week. Mike, you recently covered the topic of FABS auto backup. I am always on the lookout for the next great software package to make my life easier. And having heard about FABS auto backup for a long time, I decided to download and try it. I'm sure it is great for backing up certain parts of a user's profile, but I wanted to caution about one area that I was specifically checking for when I tried it. I wanted to see if FABS would back up any certificates that may be in a user's profile, and found that it would not. Although I don't think the certificates are common in most users' profiles, they will exist from time to time, and if you are backing up a user's profile with the assumption that you would have everything you need to completely restore the user's profile on another computer, you would have a major problem if the user had any certificates. If the user ever encrypted any files on their hard drive using Microsoft's built-in encryption, they would have received a certificate either self-signed or from a certificate authority. A user may have installed a certificate for the purpose of email encryption or other purposes. Without these certificates, they will be unable to open files or email that were encrypted. This is a great follow-up. I mean, FABS Auto Backup is a tremendous program, but this is something to keep in mind, and he has the answer here. And it's something that I rarely run into, but you should know about it. Using a Windows 7 computer and a profile that had encrypted some sample and thus had a certificate, I made two backups, one using FABS Auto Backup and the other using Windows Easy Transfer. Restoring using the backup made with Easy Transfer restored the certificate and the user was able to open encrypted files. The one created with FABS did not restore the certificate and was unable to open the encrypted files. Thinking that I might have missed something, I contacted FABS and it was confirmed that they do not support user certificates. In my opinion, I would use a combination of FABS Auto Backup and the Microsoft Easy Transfer just to make sure I had all my bases covered. I have listened and learned from your show for several years and truly enjoy it. Keep up the good work. Hey, Rod, thank you so much for running the test and bringing that to our attention. I really appreciate that. This is from Damis. He wrote me a couple emails about links missing. He says, am I missing something? And I sent you a previous email regarding missing links to some nine-night batch files from your show notes for 386. Now for 387, it's missing some links from one of your emailers at playtime 20 minutes and 46 seconds. Scott Hanselman emailed 20 pages of links to Ultimate Developer and Power Tool lists. Thanks. I sometimes make mistakes and do not have every link. I do my best in the show notes, but if I'm missing something, and this is the first I heard about these two shows, I will take care of that this weekend, go back to shows 386, 387, and see if what links are missing, and I will carefully link them up. I thought I had the one link with the 20 pages of links. I really think I thought I had that, and maybe I missed it, so I'll go back and check that out. But I do my best and in trying to include every link from everything I talk about, but clearly I miss stuff. I'm human. I'll do my best to see if I can put those links and find them and get them in there. This is from Roy. Hi, Mike. This is in response to Sync Back, and I enjoy your show. Thank you. About your last show, you read an email about sync versus backup in Sync Back. Well, Sync Back SE supports file versioning. And see the following description. Other option is to create two profiles for the same files. One that backs up and the second that syncs. I like that with the two profiles. That's a great idea. Now, what is versioning? A version of a file is automatically created when a file is to be replaced. And that means a copy of the file is to be replaced and is made before it is replaced. A file is to be deleted, and then a copy of the file to be deleted is made before it is deleted. A file is to be moved. A copy of the file to be moved is made before it is moved, which is essentially the same thing as being deleted. And this is assuming a versioning is enabled, and there's plenty of examples. You can go to SyncBack's site to go into more details. I'll put a link to that. Versioning is a great idea if you're working on a lot of different files and you're editing them. Maybe it's the same file for an individual, or you're working on something that you may want to go back to a previous version. Versioning is great. It reminds me of the journaling of an that's included in a lot of Unix and Linux operating systems, where you can have different versions of the same file, and they call that journaling. That's something you can turn on with SyncBack, and will answer the question that came up in the last show. I got a few responses to the utility that I mentioned that would enable you to get the email password on a system. If you were trying to find out what the password is because you can't see it because it's all starred out, right after that show, I can't believe a utility that I love and use called SIW reveals that password for email. And you don't have to jump through hoops. If you use SIW, that program will give you everything you need, including all of the email passwords. Now, on to some emails that have questions. And this is from Michael. Hi, Mike. I've been an avid listener of your show ever since I discovered podcasts, albeit somewhat later than my contemporaries. I am having difficulties in getting my Windows 7 and XP 3 computers to share folders. My main PC is a Windows 7 Pro with two NICs. The 10100 NIC connects directly to a Motorola SB5100 cable modem with DHCP enabled. The second 1 gig NIC connects to a 1 gig hub along with the other two computers. You can see where we're going here, and you can almost smell the answer as I'm going to tell him to disable one of those NICs and only use the one. This NIC has a fixed IP address range along with each of the other two computers. Each of the XP computers is part of the same work group. Prior to replacing the main internet-connected PC with Windows 7 Pro from Windows XP, everything was fine with me being able to share files and folders across the network, but not visible from the internet. I can ping the all of the workgroup computers, but can't view them from Windows Explorer. I've attached a screenshot of what he's talking about, which is the network and internet section of control panel from his Windows 7 system. How can I get the internal network PCs, including the Windows 7 on the second NIC, to see each other without having to access, without being able to access the internet or be accessed from the internet? Is my attempt a valid way, or is there an easier way, but without buying any new equipment? Many thanks in advance. You do have to buy some equipment, but it's cheap. The two NICs, basically, you're asking your Windows 7 computer to be a firewall, and you want one NIC to be connected to the internet. And right now, could I explain how to make that work? Yes, it would take a while. You could do some research. You could even get some third-party programs that can help. But why do that to your main Windows 7 system? Why make it a firewall when all that traffic is going to be coming through your system and your NIC cards, and all it's going to do is slow your system down? Buy a cheap, inexpensive router. You can buy a $20 router with one port. They exist. I want you to disable one of the NICs on your Windows 7 machine. Just use one NIC. Go to the hub. Have your other two XP computers go to the hub. Now, have one computer go from your cable modem to your new router. Plug the hub to the router. Now, if the router you get has four ports on it, which most likely most of them do, forget about the hub and just plug everybody into the router. Let the router be your firewall, which will do network address translation, which is fine. That is good enough. What you want is to keep it simple, and I think offloading all that work and all that traffic from your computer, which is what you're bogging it down. You're trying to make your Windows 7 computer act as the firewall for the house and the router. Don't do that. I don't think that's money well spent, okay, in terms of waste, you know, using that whole computer to do that. I think life will be a lot easier if you get the inexpensive router and put that in place. You're actually going to be more secure. Those devices were built to do that, and they're so inexpensive. Michael, let me know how you make out, but I think that's your best bet. This is from Mark. This is labeled printer issue. Hi, Mike. I have a problem at a client location that I haven't been able to figure out. They have two locations with an ISA 2004 firewall configured at each location. The two ISA boxes have a point-to-point connection between the two locations. Office A has a server with a line of business application installed on it. Office B is connected to Office A through the VPN. When Office B needs to use the line of business application, they remote desktop into Office A's server and fire up the application. This all works fine. Office B has an HP DirectJet print server hooked up to two printers that both offices need to print to. So Office B connects to Office A through remote desktop, opens the line of business application, and prints to one of the printers on the print server in Office B. She may be able to print one job or 10 jobs, but all of a sudden, neither office can print to this print server. The real strange thing is that she can continue to work with the remote application. The VPN drops the connection to the print server, but maintains the remote desktop connection. If I reboot the ISA server in Office B, she's able to reconnect and print one or maybe seven more jobs, but then it drops the connection to the print server again. Please help. I've never seen a site-to-site VPN drop the ability to print, but maintain the remote desktop connection. Once the connection to the prints drop, I have tried rebooting the print server, rebooting the printers. The only thing that works is to reboot the ISA server. And it doesn't matter which ISA server I reboot. Rebooting either one will enable people to print again for a few documents. Then it drops the connections to the print server again. When you can't print to the print server, both printers seem to be operational. They don't show us as offline or anything like that. But when you send documents to the printer, it sits in the queue, then errors out. If I leave documents in the queue and reboot one of the ISA servers, once the connection is reestablished, the documents in the queue print all by themselves. Help. What am I missing? I'm asking the chat for help. An MS Small Business Specialist says, pull up ISA monitoring on both ISA servers and watch for deny messages. Also, ISA will stop the SMB. So take a look and see what's happening. Hopefully that monitoring will give us a clue. Send me in some things for Mark to try so he can try to get this up. Mark, I don't have an answer for you. I'm putting this out there so maybe someone can message in and let's see what we can do. I will offer the following tip. I do know that when you are printing and you're connected to a terminal server and you want to print to a printer that is another network attached printer, you have to make sure that all the drivers are of the same version, even if you are different operating systems. I would absolutely make sure that the driver on the server is the same as the local machine, is the same driver that you're using on each of the clients, and make sure that at least all of your drivers are not only the latest, but of the same version number. If you have any suggestions, email them to me and I will pass them on to Mark. This comment is from Jerry, and it's how to enable Group Policy Editor in Windows 7 Home Premium, Home Basic, and Starter Editions. And he has a great link on how to do that. And I will make sure that it is in the show notes. And Jerry, thank you very much for that link and for sharing it. This is from Mike, and it's putting a business on the cloud. I have listened with interest to your previous show, which discussed putting a professional firm on the cloud using what sounds like cable TV internet access. any business becoming so dependent on the cloud needs multiple links to the net as backup over different conduits. Example, DSL backup, maybe even LTE wireless too. I do, for my bigger clients, I actually recommend if they have Fios and cable that we have connections to both. I actually do have another small business that has DSL backup. That is a different topic that I've really never talked about here on the show, but I'm glad you're bringing it up. He goes on, I have a Draytech DSL modem for domestic use, and I notice it has multiple WAN connections, i.e. you can add a cable connection and plug in a wireless USB key too. The modem setup pages allow one to specify under what conditions the backup connections are used. And having said that, I suppose they need a backup Draytech modem, equivalent in case of electrical storm surge, something that has been pre-configured and can be plugged in if there's an emergency. Backup is particularly vital if the business uses voice over IP for phone calls. Thanks for taking your time to relay your experience. Regards, Mike. We're going to spend a moment on this. I do have clients, as I mentioned, one that has a voice over IP system, and he did run into a problem with his office. And getting connected remotely while the office was being worked on and people could not be there was very difficult. We had to quickly set up a VPN so his users could connect in, some employees could connect in and get access to the phone system. He has since moved his voice over IP to a completely cloud-based PBX system. And before I talk about that, I want him to give me some feedback on how good it's doing and how it's working before I give them a plug. So once I get that info back and how it's working and how he likes it, I'll talk about that more. And I think that's where we're heading. But what Mike brings up a great point. If your services are in the cloud completely and you moved your business completely to the internet, then you need backup services to your primary connection to the internet. You do need a backup connection. Now, one of the models for the small business that I've done all the infrastructure wiring and everything for, the CPA firm, their backup is if there's a major problem with their internet connection, their employees can go home and they can connect in. So they don't even have to be there in the office. So you really, if you have another place to go that has an internet connection, that's all you need. Having even 3G cards for laptops for critical employees, that's a great backup. You need to think about this, and not only disaster recovery, what happens to servers, what happens to your data, what happens to your internet connection? I had that happen. I have Fios, and I live on a big street, and a truck took out the wire, a truck that should not have been going down the street because it was too big for how high the cable was, just took me offline. It wasn't this summer. It was the summer before. I was down and out. My home business, my consulting business was completely offline because Fios was gone and I did not have a backup. Since then, I have gotten a pay-as-you-go, and this is the Virgin Mobile USB adapter. I have a card and a pay-as-you-go where I can plug in and then connect and get on the internet, make any connections that I need to do. I guess that's the main message here. Have a backup plan for connecting to the internet if that's your core for your business. It's very, very important that you have that. And now I have it. I have clients that have it, whether it's a DSL as a backup connection or, like I said, I now have two clients that have Comcast and Comcast Business and Fios Business connection. and this is going out to John, who sent me his resume and an email with some questions. I have not had a chance to take a look and make recommendations. I promise this weekend I will get to that, and I will follow up and reply. So, John, thank you very much for sending that in to me. I have a couple things that I'm working on, and tonight I have to fix something that I started researching, and I thought this was going to be real easy, but it's not. The users have, or two users have Outlook 2002. They connect to an Exchange server that's 2003. We have Postini spam filtering turned on, and that will filter and quarantine messages prior to the messages reaching the server. But they have a junk email folder that still grabs messages that have been cleansed, so anything coming in is good. So anything that it does put into this junk email folder is already known good email. So we need to now turn off the junk email filter. 2002, you cannot disable the junk email filter. I've discovered this because I think it's Exchange that provides this junk email filter. Is there a trick, a tip, a way around this into turning off the junk email folder on a 2002 client? After having a conversation in the chat, I want to thank Corey. I want to thank Jerry and MS Small Business Specialist. And we've come up with the answer on how to disable the Outlook 2002 junk mail filter. And this is set from the server side on Exchange 2003, we do have Outlook web access. I have to log in as the user in Outlook web access and turn the feature off. I have a link here that was given to me that I will make sure this is in the chat. I had no idea that this is what you have to do to disable that. And I want to thank everybody in the chat for helping me out. And see, I learn something every time I do the show, and it's why I enjoy doing this live and not only discussing your questions, but the the questions and problems that I'm running into with clients. And it's great to collaborate and get answers. That is very, very cool. And thank you, everybody in the chat. Before I started recording tonight, I was on Facebook, and I want to thank Tim for letting me know that sad news, Davy Jones, who's the singer for the Monkees, passed away, 66 years old. He had a heart attack and died today. I thought, as a little tribute, I know one of the best known songs from Davy Jones, I'm going to play here. Give a listen, and then we'll be back to wrap up.
7A.
What number is this, Chip?
7A.
Okay, no, I mean, like, don't get excited, man. It's because I'm short, I know.
Could hide neath the wings of the bluebird as she sings. The 6 o'clock alarm would never ring, but it rings and I rise, wipe the sleep out of my eyes. My shaven razor's cold and it stings.
Cheer up, sleepy Jean. Oh, what can it
That, of course, was the Monkees and the song Daydream Believer. And I will have a link to that song on Amazon.com where you can purchase it. And speaking of Amazon, if you're buying anything and you know anybody that's buying anything, use my Amazon links so you can make your purchase and help support the Mike Tech Show. If you go to amazon.micnation.net, you will be taken right to Amazon. Your prices are the same, but I get a commission on all your purchases. And I want to thank everybody so much for just making me have a great February. And I really appreciate it. And with the short month, you guys really came through in using my link. And I really, really appreciate that. Your support, your continued support is fantastic. That's it for tonight's show. I'll be back regular time on Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern time. So same time, same channel. That's it. Everybody have a great week, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.